pray this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing love towards us. Your thoughts are about us. We are on your mind, thinking of us all the time. Even when we're wore down and sometimes tired in the middle of the week, you're thinking of us, and we just ask that you quicken us this evening to hear the Word of God so clearly, so precise. Be the center of our life. We look to you today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So in your Bibles, turn to Revelations chapter 8. And verse 1, Revelations 8:1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given the seven trumps. So now we have, if you remember, there was... We finished the six seals, the opening of the six seals, and then there's this delay in Revelations. There's this long period of time. We don't know if it's really a long period of time. I'm just saying in between chapters, it seemed like it was since we got done with the sixth seal. But what took place at that time is the sealing of the 12,000 are the 144,000, 12 from each tribe of the tribe of Israel. And those sealed ones went out and evangelized the world, and a great multitude of Gentiles and people from all nations, all countries, all tongues, it became saved the exact same way believers today get saved. By accepting Christ and believing in what he did on the cross for their sins. And it was such a multitude that man could not even number. There's no numbering of them. There were so many. So this is what took place in 7. And now we get to chapter 8. And it says, and when he had opened the seventh seal... So who is he? Only Jesus can open the seals. Remember, he's the only one that can open them. So this is him again. And he opens the seventh seal. And the seventh seal is going to open up the seven trumpets now. This is what's going to take place. But in between that time, it says that there was silence in heaven for a half an hour. I mean, it's... You know, remember, John wrote, he was told to write the things you see and the things that are going to be and which are to come. And this is what he wrote, right in the middle of this time. Now, you can mean it that it's like right here, but I also want you to think of, you know, I'm trying to think of this silence. And I'm also trying to think of the period of time from the sixth seal to the seventh seal, because there is a time frame. We don't know what that is, but there is a time frame, and I'm trying to come up with, you know, what that could be, and think about this. And it could be two things. You could say, no, that's a continuous period that took place with 144,000 of witnessing, which could have gone even to the end of the tribulation. But even then, this period is still a silent time. And it records it as being a half an hour of silence. And I'm just thinking of that. And I just think it's the long-suffering, the compassion, God's heart of still waiting for just one more maybe to come in to the kingdom. Let's give it just. Can we give it a half an hour more? and let's see if somebody would still come into the kingdom. Remember what they're experiencing at this time. I mean, this is crazy. And to think that, wow. I mean, if you're going through it, I mean, those that are going to come through and say, they're still going to rebel against God. They're going to blaspheme against God. They're going to shake their fist at God. They're still going to reject Him to His face openly. And but maybe there's that one. And maybe this half hour is all that they need. And I just think this is the compassion of Christ and His mercy. Because now it's going to go. It's going to go from grace again, because that's what the 144th, that's still God's grace going out and saving, because you're only saved by grace through faith. That whole act was an act of grace. And now it's going to go back to judgment again. It's going to go from grace to judgment, and Christ is being patient for another half an hour. So that's how I see that. And then the seven angels are going to stand before God, and to them they were given seven trumpets. So these individual trumpets, these seven individual trumpets are these, and what's going to take place? If you look at 8:5, it says, and an angel took a censer, filled it with fire from the altar. So this is in heaven. And he takes fire from the altar and he casts it upon the earth. He just throws it down there to the earth. And then there's voices. It says there's voices, there's thunderings, there's lightning, and there's an earthquake. Sunday night, when me and Cindy got home, I don't know how it was here in Miami, but we lost power. Did you guys lose power? And power went out, and it was thundering, and I mean, boom, boom. I mean, big thunder. Because we're right on the like the Everglades, and it was rolling in, and it's been like that every day, really. But big thunders and a constant thundering and big lightnings, and I remember this. Because this event here is going to make that look like nothing. Can you imagine a constant thundering happening over and over? And this is why, see, this is happening here. And this is why a lot of people believe that this part of Revelations will also tie in to the end of the seven bowls, because it's the same thing going on. Or it's just a continuing the whole time. You know, whatever, however way you want to look at it. But it will, you know, I mean, it was loud. It was cracking. I mean, it was, the shaking of the thunder and everything else. But here also an earthquake. So we have these seven trumps that are going to take place. And I think it's just a single blast. In Numbers chapter 10, there's a list of different blast, you know, there's 1, 2, 3, and they all mean something different. And in Numbers 10:4, a single blast means to return to God. That's what the children of Israel were to do when they heard just one boom, return to God, return to God. And that would be in their minds, and they would think about that. Even in battle, and they would hear that trump, because usually a trumpet is a war cry. It's a going out, but this was a coming in. And remember 1 Corinthians 15:52, where the trump will sound and men would be raised incorruptible. Incorruptible. Corruption is shed, and we are raised incorruption. So our bodies now are corrupted. We're corrupted. This is why the flesh, no flesh will enter the kingdom. And it can only enter the kingdom if it's incorruptible. So that's amazing. And that was a trump. But also in Revelations 1:10, in the beginning of this book, the introduction of how John is introduced to everything, I think was really, really amazing. Because he hears this great sound, this loud trumpet, this great sound, but it was a voice. And he turns around. He says he turns around, and and he sees the glorified Christ. And that was a sound. That trumpet, the voice of Christ was like a sound of a trumpet to him. And he talks and he says that I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And then he talks about the seven churches to him. And then he sees the glorified Christ with the church. Christ in the middle. Christ in the middle, glorified, resurrected. And he knew it. And he could identify with it. And the reason why he could identify it, because he's seen the transformation of Jesus Christ in Matthew 17. So he knew what it was. As in Matthew 17, where you had Moses, Elijah, and Christ, and Jesus Christ, in his humanity, pulled back that humanity and shown his glory. And they got to see that. They got to witness that. And this is what he sees again in Revelation 10. But it says it was a sound like a trump. So I believe when the church is going to be raptured and called out, which remember, it's a voice and it's a trump. I think that trump is going to be the voice of Jesus Christ. And Christians will know it. We will be able to respond because we know the shepherd's voice. Other people will not even hear it. Not everybody, I don't think, is going to hear it. I think those who are, and because that's the calling up. It's the single trump that calls us unto him in the rapture. So those that don't know that voice, they'll just be doing their day like nothing and they won't even hear it. There'll be death to the sound of the voice of Jesus Christ. It's amazing to think about that. Okay? So, you guys with me?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. First, sorry about that big slurp of water that's going to be taped. How you doing, Steve? Huh? Okay, the first trump, verse 7. Okay? So, I'm going to read some of these and then we're going to hit this. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. Direct judgment upon all plant life. One third of all grass, all greenery, all forests consumed. A third of it, all the way around. And this is a great impact because fire and hail, these are great enemies of forest. You know, forest fires, the way they spread so quickly, and this is how it's going to happen. So plant life was one of the first things that were created in the earth in Genesis 1:11. You can read about that. And it's going to be the first thing that's going to be destroyed. First thing that God created is going to be the first thing he destroys. A third of that will be destroyed. And this is literal. This is literal judgment. Just like the plagues of Egypt were literal. This is not a symbolic. And I don't know how you make this a symbol anyway. It's pretty clear what it says. The plague of in Egypt in Genesis 9:18, where hail came, was literal hail. And here it's the same thing. This is literal. This has taken place. This is a hailstorm and a firestorm. And that hail with lightning in it could create fire, and it will consume a third part of everything that is green. And you think about it, because the reason why this is so major is because green and grass, animals feed on that. And this is taking away even that also. So there's other things that go with a lot of these and the reasons. So remember, and I said this the last couple of times, we get bogged down with some of these passages, believing that it's a symbol, but you cannot fit symbols. You know, they try to take a symbol and they try to fit it into their system. And they say it's not literal. It can't be. It's got to be a symbol. It means that. And, it, I mean, I think John, if it was a symbol, he would say it. I think if it's a mystery, he would say it. I think if it's a proverb, I think he would say it. If it's not a true meaning, I think it can be very clear that he says it. So this is why we believe that these are all literal. I hope you believe that too. Verse 8, the second angel sounded, as it were a great mountain burning with fire cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea, a third part of the sea became blood, and a third part of the creatures that were in the sea, which had life, died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. So this is a third part of the oceans. 70% of our earth is covered by this type of water. A third of that is 23% of all the ocean and the life living in it, dead, like that, including even the ships and everything else. By the way, this part in Genesis was also created on the first day. So this is the second thing that's destroyed. Genesis 1, verse 9 and 10. Now, one thing that here's where you can mean. So where it says a great mountain, that's not a mountain falling into the water. It says, as it were like a great mountain. So see, he makes it very clear when it's not. And it's probably hard for them to describe what was taking place because he's written what he's seen, but it was like a great mountain with fire. So, the only thing I know is just a big literal mass going into the sea, going into the water. Okay? Got it? So a literal mass is going into a literal sea, and the literal sea will produce literal blood from the animals or the sea animals, and a third of all the living creatures will die literally. So, and a third of the ships also destroyed.
Because the water becomes bitter, right? The ocean
becomes bitter. That's not now. This is coming up because we don't drink ocean water because that's salt. Got it?
No.
Hank, so, next step though, we'll answer your question. Trumpet number 3. By the way, in Jeremiah 51:25, it's a good reading. Also on this, it talks about this fire cast into the sea, and it talks about as a representation even to Babylon. So pretty interesting reading in Jeremiah 51. Relates a little bit here. Okay, third trumpet sounded. And there fell a great star from heaven, burning as a lamp. It fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And this is interesting. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And a third part of the waters became wormwood. That's what that means. Very bitter. Wormwood means bitter. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Okay, so the third trump now deals with fresh water, deals with the fountains, deals with any type of rivers, fountains, and everything else. And this here, this star that's going to, this meteor that's going to come down, it's probably going to have poisonous chemicals in it because this is all pollution. This is what's going to affect the water system is pollution. Unable to drink and being very, very bitter. And so it's taken away the water supply, completely taken away the water supply. The word wormwood, and this is throughout the Bible in many different areas. I'll give you a couple of them here because they do all have different meanings, and you can read the chapters, and that will line that up. So we have a Deuteronomy 29, 18. And the word wormwood there means idolatry. Jeremiah 9:15, the same word means sorrow. And Amos 5:7, it means judgment. So bringing something and changing the effect. The effect, changing the natural effect that God intends to be, like drinking water, has now a third of it has been shut off. Okay? Fourth trump. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third. And this is what your friend asked last week. And the third part of the sun was smitten, a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars. So the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. So we have the moon, the star, and the sun darkened. Darkened means absent of light. Okay, and this was also in Genesis, where the earth becomes darkened physically. It will become darkened. Light and life come from the sun. The sun gives light, but it also gives life to plants. And on the fourth day of creation, these three things appeared. They weren't created at that time. They just broke through. God spoke it and said, let there be light. The larger one would rule by day. The lesser would rule by night. So God spoke that and there was light. So if there is 12 hours of light in a day, right? About now, close, maybe more. But a third of that would be 8 hours. We'll lose 4 hours of light. So light will only shine for a period of 8 hours now instead of 12. Now, that becomes important. You're going to have to remember that, because when we get to the bowls, that's going to be introduced again to the reason why. Or not the reason why, effects of it. The effects of not having this sunlight for the period of time that it is. Pretty interesting. Okay? You got that? So, after the fourth trump, then we've got a break. So there's the first four, and then there's the last three, if this wasn't enough. Verse 13 tells us this. He says, and behold, and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of other voices, the trump of the three angels, which are yet to sound. So there's three more now coming. And we'll just cover these. And that will do it for tonight. So we got the fifth one. Let's see what I want to pick out. Okay. So in the fifth one, let's just read it in verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him it was given the key of the bottomless pit. He opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of it, as smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke. And out of the smoke, locusts upon the earth. Now, these locusts are not coming to eat the grass. These locusts are a little bit different than the ones that were let out in Egypt. This is a locust invasion. In Joel chapter 1, you can read about it. It explains it deeper than it does here. But in Egypt, that was literal. The difference here is these locusts are going to be equipped with a stinger. They're going to be like a scorpion stinger. And their target is not grass. Their target is going to be evil men. Now, a lot of people say, well, why is, you know, if this is all evil and everything else, why are they going, you know, because these are like even demons. And why do demons go against evil men? Because God, Jesus Christ, is in control. And they're going to be going after evil men, not to kill them, but to inflict as much pain as possible. And it's going to happen for 5 months. 5 straight months of this sting happening. Over and over and going after, and with a great, great invasion of them. So they'll have a stinger like a scorpion. They'll got one objection, is to sting evil men, but not to kill them. That's what it says here. They will not kill them. And that's in verse 5. Just to torment. This is a tormental time right here. Okay? Okay. And then in verse 6, there we go again. And in those days shall men seek death and not be able to find it. They're going to want to die. They're going to desire to die. But death will flee from them. And it just proves even natural life comes from God. Okay? And you can read some of the descriptions of these things. And again, Joel does an amazing number of looking into them too. Okay, here, verse 11 is... Let me see here. Yeah, verse 11 I want to cover. It says, and they had a king over them. So if they had a king over them, that means they came from a kingdom. You don't need a king if, you know, if there's no kingdom. So they had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit. In the Hebrew, his name is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. Abaddon means destruction in the Greek, and Apollyon means destroyer in the Greek. And that's what this is about. This is a demonic invasion. Okay? Okay, the sixth trump. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Now the golden altar, by the way, is a place where prayer is offered, and you can see that in Revelations 8:3, because when they took that golden censer, it says it was the prayer is the exact same thing that was here. So this is where prayer is. And the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loosed the four angels which are bound to the great river Euphrates. Okay, so he heard a voice. This is a voice from Christ. And these angels were bound. Most likely they were evil. And Christ turns them loose for destruction. And we look at that and we say, you know, why would he do that? But this is judgment. And Satan, as the enemy, comes to kill, steal, and destroy anyway. That's Satan's job, to destroy. So this is destruction in John 10:10. And they were bound in the great river Euphrates, which is very, very interesting. You know, why the Euphrates River? But that's where the Garden of Eden started in Genesis chapter 2. Right in the middle of the garden, four rivers ran, and one of them was the Euphrates. Also, what happens here then was the first sin of man was in that area. The first murder, Cain and Abel, were in that area. Babylon was constructed in that area. So you've got the rise of government, the rise of religion, all in that one area, all running through the Euphrates River. The Tower of Babel was built there. Babylonian activity was right in that area, which is idolatry. And you can go on and on about this. So this is where they had a stronghold. There was evil there, and God loosens them from that area. Or Jesus Christ does. Babylon will also fall in that area. I think it's coming up in... We preached on that. I think Revelation's 19. Okay? So... Yeah. So, in 15, the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year to slay a third part of the men. Okay, so I think this is literally exact time that they were loose or let out to kill a third of the men. Now, remember, a fourth of the men were already killed with the seals. Now here's another third. So that makes it half of the population is now been wiped out from the opening of the seals to the sixth trumpet here in Revelations. Half of the people dead. And Revelations 24:22, except the days be shortened, no flesh can be saved. Verse 16, the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. And I heard the number of them. That's an army of 200 million, by the way. The army of the enemy is getting ready. 200 million. And there was a study that, you know, and this, China, they can fund this. You know, they can support these numbers. You know, it's really incredible. But this is going to be a big army taking place. And it's going to be a demonic invasion. So there's more demons being just let loose. And this is what's fueling these trumps from the... That's why it was woe, woe, woe to the earth. You know, because who, again, will be able... Nobody's going to be able to be... You know, half of the people have already dead. And now it's going to be all demonic warfare with invasions of demonic upon people. To get the seventh trump, and we'll end this, you've got to go over to Revelations 11. And many believe that this could be the end of the Great Tribulation, this part. And a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders, which again we think is the church, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon his face and worshiped God. One thing, you know, maybe Monty would know this too. Does your, Keith, the English Standard, does that have kingdom or kingdoms, plural or singular?
Singular.
Mm-hmm. King James, I think, is wrong on this. They do singular, and it is, there's just two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of darkness, and there's a kingdom of light. So I think this should be singular. I think that's the proper interpretation. So, so that's how I see that. And you know, if as we end this up, I think right now, it's like all of God's creation is starting to notice, and they can see that this end is in sight. And this is for the worshiping of God now, and the praising of God, the termination of evil, the time of joy, the time of the kingdom, which would be singular. Makes sense. Verse 18, the nations, though, are still angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and they should give us a reward unto the servants of the prophets, to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. That's how God looks at it, destroying the earth. The temple of God was opened. So to me, this is Israel again. And in verse 19, in heaven, and there seemed to be the temple, the ark, the testaments. And there's that, there it is again, the lightning, the voices, the thunderings, and the earthquake, and great hail. So it's the ending is just like that beginning one. So that's why I think it's going all the way through with continuing sounds. They will understand, this will be the new covenant, I think, also, where Jeremiah 31 talked about that, my laws now will not be written on tablets of stone, but they're going to be written on their hearts. And they're still angry. You know, they won't come to God. They'll do anything but come to Christ. Even today, we talk to people, and me and Cindy were talking about even in the time that I was in Germany, where people were, they don't even know their identity. They're very confused in life. They're shattered. They're on drugs, and they've gone through, every kid goes to a psychiatrist. Young kid, they're going because they need help. They've got mental issues that they'll even confess that they have mental problems, and you give them Christ. I go, if I had an answer for you, would you listen? Would you accept that? Oh yes. You start talking about Christ. Oh no, anything but that. They want help, but they don't want Christ. They don't want Christ at all no more. And this is what this reminds me of. They want everything their way, but they want it without God. And you're going to be seeing more and more of that. You're going to see people pushing away the church, pushing away. And we have the answers to life. We have answers for life. We have answers for their mental health. We do. I've seen it in the rehab over many years that people would get healed. In these areas over a period of time as the Word of God ushered in and started to renew their minds, and they start to think about Christ, and their whole identity changes, but they don't want it. They'll have anything but God. And this is what reminds me here. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the service tonight, the Word of God, and these things that we get to see into Revelations. We thank you for the word. Just bless the offering tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Any
questions, anything?